Hi everyone, welcome back. We're on the final lap. Thank you for staying the course. So we're going to pick up on page 26 of the big book, which is sharing the story of the certain American businessman who was a chronic alcoholic who had no control whatever over his alcohol, and we're given a few paragraphs describing the challenges of his drinking. And then at the bottom of page 26, it says, "But this man still lives and is a free man. He does not need a bodyguard, nor is he confined. He can go anywhere on this earth where other free men may go without disaster, provided he remains willing to maintain a certain simple attitude." And what is that simple attitude? Well, I was told that that's described on page 55, where it says, "Need to sweep away prejudice, enables you to think honestly, encourages you to search diligently within yourself. Then, if you wish, you can join us on the broad highway. With this attitude, you cannot fail." What an amazing promise is that? So all I'm asked to do is sweep away prejudice, be honest, search diligently within myself for the power, because that's where it is. Then, if I wish, I can join on the broad highway with lots of other recovered people. With this attitude, I cannot fail. So some of the helpful questions that I asked myself was, am I prepared to have an open mind? Am I prepared to set aside what I think I know? Am I prepared to be as honest as I can be and search within myself for the power that is already there? And if I'm recovered, am I willing to continue to experience new things in recovery and with my higher power? And then on page 27, there's a description of what happens to us when we have a spiritual experience. And it talks about huge emotional displacements and rearrangements, ideas and emotions and attitudes, which were once the guiding forces of the lives of these men, are suddenly cast to one side, and a completely new set of conceptions, motives begin to dominate them. So I am given a new set of conceptions and motives, God's, not Gail's. So ideas is talking about how I think, emotions is talking about how I feel, and attitudes is talking about my belief systems. And rather than those coming from Gail, from my kind of excessive focus on self and having my needs met, they get changed to be in line with God's. So what does it feel like when I'm looking through Gail's eyes? I was actually doing some writing about this morning. If I'm acting in my character defects and I'm in Gail's world, what is that like? Well, I am harsh, I'm judgmental, I'm envious, I'm unforgiving, I'm critical. What does it look like when I'm looking at people, situations, and circumstances through God's eyes? Kind, compassionate, forgiving, non-judgmental, accepting, loving. That's the difference. That's the change that happens to me as a consequence of working these steps. That's how God has changed me. And of course, I'm a human being and I can sometimes falter off the spiritual path and go back to that place. But that's why I have tools. That's why I have step 10, step 11. I can use the tools. I can outreach with people. I can share what's going on. But fundamentally, I get a new set of ideas, emotions, and attitudes. And then at the top of page 28, it talks about seeking the same escape with all the desperation of a drowning person. What seemed at first a flimsy reed has proved to be the loving and powerful hand of God. A new life has been given us, or if you prefer, a design for living that really works. And if I was drowning, I am not going to argue with the person throwing me the life's preserver. I'm going to grasp it. And the flimsy reed is where we are at the start of step two. I just grasp on to something that may help. I see other people recovered. I saw my sponsor recovered. I saw people in meetings recovered. And the flimsy reed was thinking, do you know what? That might happen to me if I do what those people have done. My faith grows over time, and what's on offer is a new life, a new design for living. And who wouldn't want that? And also on page 8, it talks about us all being children of a living creator with whom we may form a relationship upon simple and understandable terms as soon as we are willing and honest enough to try. And again, I was told that those terms are described on page 63, because on page 63, I'm told that my higher power is going to provide what I need. So that's my higher powers part of the contract. I am going to be given absolutely everything I need to live my life. What I need to do are two things. I need to keep close to my higher power, and I do that by working the steps and then living in steps 10 and 11 once I've worked the steps, and performing my higher powers work well, which I was told is step 12, helping others. And my experience is that if I do those two things every day to the best of my ability, I am given whatever I need to get through each and every day abstinently. It's not always easy. You know, circumstances, challenges happen. But I am given what I need to get through each day, providing I do those two things. And then the chapter on the last couple of paragraphs talks about, on page 29, further on, clear-cut directions are given showing how we recovered. Yet another reminder that we don't have to figure this out. We just need to follow the instructions in this book. And these are followed by 42 personal stories. So we're going to be told the how. I don't need to figure this out. And then the instructions are supplemented by the 42 personal stories showing how alcoholics who were equally desperate as I was as a compulsive overeater found their path to a higher power. And William James wrote, and is quoted on page 28 in the big book, that there are a multitude of ways in which men have discovered God. But I do need to follow instructions. And I find that really, really hard, because I'm the sort of person who will have some flat pack furniture delivered and think I know how to build it without following the instructions. And, you know, flat pack furniture is pretty complicated these days, and there is no way I could build a piece of furniture without instructions. But Gail thinks she knows how to do that. And I was laughing the other day with my friend, because I am a cold water swimmer and I get in a body of cold water most days. And me and my friend go all over the place looking for cold water, but we have no sense of direction. And a few months ago, we went to find this particular place, and we thought we could find it without a map, because we just thought we'd know where it was. And we spotted this waterfall and we said, oh, it must be there. But there were lots of waterfalls, and we were walking in completely the wrong direction. And when we couldn't find it, we were laughing. And I said, how ridiculous is that, that we both know we have zero sense of direction, but we thought we could find it. And that's what I do. So following instructions doesn't always come easy. But that's what I have to do. I have to follow the instructions in this book. I can't put my own spin on it. I can't pick and choose which instructions I follow. I do all of that imperfectly, of course, but to the best of my ability, I follow the instructions. And that is just incredible, because I don't have to figure it out. So again, one of the questions you might want to ask yourself is, am I willing to follow the exact instructions as laid out in this book to recover and or stay recovered? So let's just take a couple of minutes to reflect on There Is a Solution, and just consider a couple of questions. Again, just do what you've done. You've been doing that brilliantly. Just bullet points, quick share back. So what evidence do you have that you are a real compulsive overeater? Do you see that your mind is the real problem? And are you willing to go to any lengths to recover? And what does that mean to you? So we'll just take a couple of minutes, and then we'll just hear from you. Thank you.